Advent Sunday. What does it mean, Advent? Advent means coming. He's coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. And since, I believe, the 5th century, we celebrate Advent. That's not mandated in the Bible. I don't read in the Bible that 4 weeks before Christmas we have to focus on His coming and prepare ourselves. I don't see it in the Bible. But yet, it can be beneficial. It's a potential benefit of observing Advent. So, here are a few points about Advent. You know, during Advent, we realize that God has a plan. Right? The plan of the coming of His Son. So there's a focal point on the deeds of God, or God's plans. It's not about us with Christmas. It's not about us. It's about our coziness and hominess and what we call in Dutch gezelligheid. It's about God, about His coming, about the Emmanuel. So it is good in the time of Advent to be prepared and to have a preparation time. Like you have a preparation time for the Lord's Supper. That's not in the Bible either. But potential beneficial. And so the 4 weeks before Christmas can be beneficial. And we focus on the real thing. And read the Bible, not only having Advent on Sunday in church, but having Advent at home. Advent at home, and just living towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not being so involved in greenery and Christmas lights and Christmas trees and you name it, which is becoming more and more pagan, but be prepared and having a long attitude for Christmas, for the coming of the Savior. And Advent reminds us of generations of longing people. The Bible is filled with hungry people, with people expecting something to come from the hand of the Almighty God. So it is good to feel connected with that people and to understand that people and to learn from that people when they are longing for the coming of the kingdom, the coming of the Savior, the coming of deliverance. Again, to understand them, to learn from them, and to be connected to them. You know, we live in a time of instant gratification. Previously, when you needed something, you went to a store and maybe you had to order it. Now we go online and we have it 2 days after, or maybe even next day service, or maybe even within a couple hours. We are growing more and more impatient. We want to have it now, directly, immediately. And I think during the time of Advent, we also see that the Lord's mills go slow. And that we have to have patience also in spiritual things. And not be so focused on self. I want it now. So Advent could slow us down. It's a busy month, and we need to be prepared. And Advent could fortify confidence in the promises of God. It reminds us that the Lord is doing what He had told us He would do. The promise of a clear revelation of God's Son in the heart, for example. You know, some people feel always an Advent people. Some God's people have little faith and are living in that expectation more than that they have it. So Advent stirs up also the expectation of the second coming of Christ. And we consider the little ones in faith as they can relate to Advent time. So that stirs the longing for a deeper insight. So today, in our first sermon on Advent this year, we will try to empathize with the church of all ages, as the church in essence is a waiting church, a pining church, a hungry church, but not in a sad way, but in a happy way, not with intellectual expectation, but with a joyful expectation, not only a joyful exaltation, but also a joyful expectation. So you probably found the text when we're reading it, the Advent text, John 8, verse 56 through 59. Let us read them together. John 8, 56 through 59. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So far. The theme for this morning, the future child. The future child. And with the help of the Lord, five thoughts: the promised child, the desired child, the rejoiced in child, the old child, and the rejected child. The future child, the promised child, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Secondly, the desired child, he rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. The rejoicing child, and he was glad. The old child, he said, before Abram was, I am. And the rejected child, it was 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. Congregation is especially the evangelist John, who speaks a lot about conversations of the Jewish people with Christ. Almost debates, dialogues, talks. And Lord Jesus was able to handle the Jewish leaders. His answers were amazing. They tried to corner him and they were not successful. Lord Jesus was so wise, even at a young age already, when he was 12, and he spoke with authority. You know, remember the time that they asked him, should we pay taxes to the Roman government, yes or no? They want to make life difficult for him. And Lord Jesus said, show me a penny. And he said, whose image and subscription has it? And they answered, Caesar's. So he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's, and unto God the things that be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer and held their peace. It happens so often. The Lord Jesus just spoke in such an impressive way that they had nothing to say anymore. And the same is happening in John 8. A dialogue, a debate between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. And what was it about? Well, the Jewish leaders were kind of impressed with Jesus. They kind of believed in him. Not really, It was kind of a connection. They were impressed. And I read in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He spoke to the people that believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So he spoke to them that are believing, but not were believing indeed. So he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the Lord Jesus spoke to the Jewish people, and many of them believed in him, and he said, the truth shall make you free if you know the truth. And they answered him, kind of upset, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And the Lord Jesus answered that they were not Abraham's seed if they did not resemble Abraham. Because Abraham rejoiced to see his day, was longing and desirous. So look at verse 36. You see it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my words has no place in you. And compare it to verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Lord Jesus was kind of harsh and blunt. He said, You seek to kill me. The word is not in you. They do what they have seen in their father. He spoke about the Jewish people. They do not love the Lord Jesus. They cannot hear his word. They're from the devil. So Christ differed from these Jewish people. And Abram differed from them. He came from God. He was sent of God. And the key verse is probably verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. It's interesting. You read through this debate, you see at least 10 times that the Jewish people are blasphemous and attacking the Lord Jesus. And many times, Lord Jesus just simply responds with the truth and then ends with an invitation. So that's typically the Lord Jesus. He is offended, they offend him, he remains calm, he speaks the truth, and he ends with an invitation. In verse 8, in chapter 8, in chapter 10, the same thing. So, verily, verily, verse 51, I say unto you, if a man keep my say, he shall never see death. What does it mean? So he is saying that if someone believes in this Jesus, he shall not die? That's unreal. So then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. See, as thou hast the devil. So attacking him again. Abram is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. That's unreal. That's blasphemous. Are thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? And the Lord Jesus very calmly answers, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. See the all truth. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. And then an invitation. Your father, Abe, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Why don't you see that day as well? Why don't you long for him also? So What do we learn from this so far? If someone is a child of Abraham, he desires like Abraham. He has the same faith as Abraham. And Abraham was longing for him. Abraham was anticipating the coming of the Son of God. So, of course, you remember the text from Genesis 12, right? I preached about that not too long ago. Now, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land I will show thee. Get out of the land. Come out of Ur. What type of text is that? Is that a mission text? About mission work? Yes. Is it kind of a baptism text? As well. It's also an Advent text. Because it is about expectation, about future. About what the Lord has promised. Unto a land I will show thee. So Abraham was an Advent person. He left Ur of the Chaldeans on his way to the promised land, to the country the Lord had promised to show him. So he was on his way to the promised land, an Advent person. And the Lord added, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So the Lord said to Abraham, Abraham, get out of that land. I will give you the country, and you will be a blessing. So that's also the future. So he hoped for that. He really hoped that he and his offspring, his children and grandchildren, will be a blessing for the whole earth, for the whole world. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all the families of the earth be blessed. So in what way? In what way will the Israelites be a blessing to the whole world? Because the Lord Jesus will be born out of Israel, out of Abraham. And so Abraham's seed, that's the Lord Jesus. Abraham was longing for his day, for the seed, and that's Lord Jesus. You say, well, that's far-fetched. That's unreal. How do you know? Well, I read it in Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So Paul said it. Paul said that Abraham was longing for Christ, that he was waiting for the seed, singular, not seeds. So Abraham, before he was called, did not know God, was serving idol gods, was standing with his back to God, but there was no life, no spiritual life in him. And the Lord started, the Lord began, and turned him around and put him on the road and said, no, you're an Advent person. So you have to travel, to sojourn, to the promised country. So that the seed will come, and Christ will come, and Christ will be a blessing to all earth. So that starts with Abraham. So were the Jews really sons of Abraham? They were biologically, but not spiritually. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Yes, he was their father. No, he wasn't. He was their father because of the bloodline, the lineage. But he was not their father spiritually. And Abraham is the father of all the believers, of all them that know him. So the promised child, let's go to the second thought, the desired child. when you order something and it's really something you want to have, you're waiting for it. You desire it. You say, what day is it today? When did I order it? It should come this afternoon. Or maybe you got even an email when it's coming. And if it is really important, you just long for it. Oh, today it's coming, that present. Today it's coming, that valued thing. So when you believe it's coming, the more value it has, the more desire you have. And if you forget about it, if it's kind of unexpectedly the package is before the door, oh, yeah, that's right. I completely forgot. Then apparently it was not so important to you. So the more precious something is, the more desire you have. And so Abraham had a strong desire. Your father Abel rejoiced to see my day. In the Dutch translation, even the word longing is in there. It's an exceeding rejoicing, leaping for joy, rejoicing. I really want to have it. I'm looking forward for it. It made me so happy. Desire. You know, when the Lord gives a new heart, it's not about God's help below in the first place. It's also not about, oh, the forgiveness of my sins. It's more to have God back, to have Him as my God, to have God as my Father, is a hunger for the living God. So I dare to say that everyone who is touched by the Spirit and drawn by the Lord receives an Advent heart, a long heart, like a heart panting for the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. So there's that hoping of finding God, that God will be my portion, that God will give Himself to me. Are you an Advent person? What do you want in this life? What are you hoping for? What is your joy? What is your biggest joy? What are you looking forward to? What is it? What is the first thing that you're looking forward to? That you want to have? That you would like to experience? That's important to you. What is it? Maybe some say, that the Lord would smile on me. The Lord would speak a word to my soul of His salvation. That I would find the Lord Jesus Christ for my soul. Because I'm struggling a long time. And I'm hoping and waiting and struggling and fighting. But I have not come so far as I would like to. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, He makes you an Advent person. And creates a longing for the most precious that's possible. Longing for God Himself. Longing for the Savior. You see it also in Acts 3. Acts 3, verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And you first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. See? So the Lord Jesus came. He was sent to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. To deliver from guilt and from the pollution of sin. So the Lord creates that desire for the living God. So believing is not intellectual believing. Believing is not just kind of believing facts. But there's a desire in true believing. There's love in there. And Abraham was hoping for a child. And apparently Ishmael was not the promised child, but Isaac was. And that made him happy, and nothing else could make him happy. So the earlier he would receive him, the better. So that's how the Lord works. So often with that expectation, creating expectation, like Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth, and in fact, all God's people, hoping for the Lord more than watches for the morning. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, Abraham was hoping. He did not have it in his pocket. He said, not I have everything. He said, I miss something. And so the Lord keeps his people, a missing people. Don't take me wrong. I'm not defending unbelief. But they have a desire. And the more love they have for Christ, the more they long for him. Then they don't have it. So may that also be the result of the Advent time, that God's people see, I want more. I want more of Christ, more of that love, more of that insight. I would like to grow in grace and not stay the same way. So that is the true rejoicing. Your father Abel rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. He saw it, right? Next one. Rejoiced in child. You know, when the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of sinners, they don't begin rejoicing, but they are hoping for joy they would receive. They are longing for that. Because nothing will be more exciting than finding God and his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. So your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What does that mean? Rejoice to see my day. Lord Jesus speaking. So my day is the day of Christ, is his birth, his coming. So your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was just hoping with desire and with joy, with that holy anticipation. Because when you are waiting for something valuable and precious that you want to have, and it was ordered and you know it's coming, it's not only that you know it, it's not only that you desire it, it's also that you rejoice in it. It makes you already rejoicing before you have it. And so the Lord works also seriously, that God's people rejoice even before they have it all. Even when God's people are poor and needy, they see it laying there and they are hoping for it. And they see it sometimes with binoculars of faith. They see it and are glad. So not all of God's people have come as far as his elders have. Some of them are little ones. And they are more of a hoping people. And they sometimes see it. They see it at a distance. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Sometimes God's people see the little ones. They see Christ from a distance. They don't have it close by, but they see him and rejoice in him. That's also believing. They don't have it in their pockets, They cannot use big words. They don't dare to say, I have him, and I know him, and I'm saved by him. But they can't help but seeing him in faith and rejoice in him and be glad in him. And that gladness is sometimes very strong, and then the next day it's gone. But they're still an Advent people. Abram was happy to hear the voice of God. You know about Sarah, right? Sarah. She heard about the fact that she would have a child, and she laughed. That's what the word Isaac means, laughter. But that was a laughing in unbelief. And later she believed, she rejoiced believing. So there was also this same faith, and he saw it, and she saw it, and was glad. So Abram saw deliverance, and Abram saw something that would not only give natural joy, Psalm 128, but also give a spiritual joy. He saw deliverance. He saw Jesus. He saw the King of the nations. He was glad for the nations, for Israel, for church and mission work, to see the Lord at work. That was his desire, to see the Lord at work. We also see that in 1 Peter 1:6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So manifold temptations, and still rejoicing, greatly rejoicing in the midst of all heaviness and temptations. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's the same word used here, exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so pursue today the prophets that were before you. So believing is not something indifferent. Believing is not cold and intellectual. But the true believing of an Advent person is trusting the fact, is desiring to have it, is rejoicing in it. And what else do we see about it? In the fourth one, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? You know, the priests retired when they were 50. So you're 50 years old those days. And why? And before 50, you're a youngster. So they accused the Lord Jesus that you're only in your 30s. So why would we trust you? Your father, A, rejoiced to see my day, and thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So they were challenging his age. And the Lord Jesus, in his wisdom, answered it again beautifully. He said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am older than Abraham. So, see those Jewish leaders standing there, proud. We are children of Abraham. It's okay with us. We are fine. And then they're pointing to the Lord Jesus. He has a devil. He is not from God. And the Lord Jesus said, no, you are not from Abraham's seed, because you don't long to see my day. And they said, but you're only so young. And he answered, I am older than Abraham. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What does that mean? Children, Can you explain that? I see the Lord Jesus standing there. He was in his 30s. And the Pharisees tell him that he does not know anything. And Lord Jesus is answering back to the Pharisees, I'm older than Abraham. I'm older than your father. That meant this. Lord Jesus claimed divinity. He claimed that he was God. He used the word, I am. Ego eimi, which is the Greek translation of the name of Jehovah in the Old Testament. Remember Exodus 3? Moses close to the burning bush and the Lord revealing his name to him, I am that I am. I am the unchanging God. I have no beginning. I am. I just exist. You cannot say I am. But I can say I am. I always have been. I always will be. I am. I am the I am. Many of those I am texts in the New Testament are referring to Exodus 3, all explaining that Lord Jesus is God himself. So the child, Christ, Jesus, in the manger. See the manger in your thoughts? See the baby in there? How old do you think he is, children? We would say he's maybe a day old. And the shepherds are coming, and maybe next week the wise men are coming. How old is the baby? Maybe 2 weeks after that. Well, really, he's way older. He is from eternity. He has no beginning. You say, but he was born out of Mary. He was this very young child. In his human nature, yes. In his human nature, he is very young. But in his divine nature, he is from eternity, he's God. So that baby in the manger is very old, older than Abraham. Before Abraham was, I was, I am. That is really a blessing. Let me first prove that from the Bible. The Lord Jesus is so old that he was old before he was born. You know, when we were born, we didn't even exist before that. We were just even nowhere. We did not exist before we were conceived. But Lord Jesus was. Here, a few texts from the Bible proving this. Beautiful. From Proverbs. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set the compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. So the Lord Jesus was there. He was there when God created. He was involved himself in creation. The world was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. He was the Word, the creating Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, by Christ as well. And without him was not anything made that was made. So Abraham was longing to see his day. And when he saw Isaac, when Isaac was born, he looked in the cradle and he saw Isaac. and he saw more. He saw the Lord Jesus. He saw the seed. He was so happy. He was so glad. And he knew that the child was, in a way, so old. He was God himself. So that means what? Also for today. That means that he can save. He's God. The Lord Jesus is not only human. He is God himself. And we may contemplate that today and in the time of Advent. That he's God himself. He's the Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. And he also draws people. And he keeps people in his hands. And he applies with his Holy Spirit. So, an old child, and yet a rejected child. Congregation, many of the Jewish leaders are close to the kingdom. They saw Jesus. They heard him. They believed in him, in a sense, right? There's some respect for him. They did not just walk away and said, this is all nonsense. No, they were interested. And yet the Lord Jesus said, you have to keep my word so that you will be made free. And that made him upset. Free? Oh, we are free. Abram is our father. So he said, no, he isn't. And they get so mad. They are picking up stones and they start throwing them to him. Such an animosity. It's so hostile. So they had impressions of Christ. They kind of believed in a sense, intellectually. It made sense to them. And yet, they got so angry. They took up stones and cast at him. See, that is what people can do. No, that's what people do. That's what all people do, except if the Lord changed your heart. And if your heart has not been changed, that's what you do. You get upset. You despise him. You don't need him. You don't want him. You pick up stones to throw at him. You say, Reverend, that's not who I am. I'm always going to church on Sundays. I love the truth. I live a decent life. I'm not throwing rocks at Christ. I'm afraid you do. In a pious way. But in your unbelief, this is what you're doing. In your refusal to repent, this is what you do. Despised him. Esteemed him not. Isaiah 53. Unless the arm of the Lord is revealed unto us, we just reject him. We resist him. We don't need him. We are fine, like those Jewish people in our religion. We are pious, have the highest thoughts of self. Except when the Holy Ghost comes and makes us willing and makes us an Advent people. And makes us hungry and thirsty. And makes us desirous to have him. And if that's not happening, if the Lord Jesus, if the Holy Spirit does not create that desire, we keep resisting. Because we can. We can. We cannot believe ourselves, but we can resist. You know, those Jewish leaders, they had studied theology. They were leaders in the religious community. They knew their Bibles well. And still, they had no desire for Christ. They despised him, as the arm of the Lord was not revealed to them. You see the same thing in chapter 10. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. See, this also because they accused him, right? And Lord Jesus invited them, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. So they wanted to kill him. But it was not his time yet. And it was not going to happen unless it was his time. Lord Jesus first wanted to teach, first wanted to perform miracles. He first wanted to obey the law of God. He needed to suffer innumerable reproaches. He had to experience. He had to die himself, to lay down his life. And then he would take up his life again. See? You know what's needed to know, poor sinner? You know, some of you are really not doing well spiritually. You feel kind of, you miss something and you desire something and you want to have faith and you want to find Christ and you want it. And you feel disappointed, and you feel kind of, the Lord doesn't want to give it to me. And you struggle already for years for that. Do you say, I want to be saved, but I don't know what to do? There's something stuck there. Something you're stuck on. What it is? You think that you are willing to be saved. And that the Lord does not give it. But that's not true. What's true is this, that you don't believe in him and that you pick up rocks to throw at him. Then they took up stones to cast at him. That's what you need to own. That's what you need to believe. It's what you need to admit, that so far you only have thrown rocks at the head of Christ. And if that does not sink in, then there's an obstacle. Because then you think you're good. And then it gets stuck. So I invite all of you who are not an Advent people to realize, to think about that you're throwing rocks at the Lord Jesus. And just work that through for yourself. And consider for yourself. Because that's crucial to admit. And as long as you don't admit that, then you're defending yourself and say, I don't throw rocks. I am willing. I won't do that. And that's an obstacle. Because it's not true. And yet, although they are throwing rocks, let me also quote John 12. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So, was with that resistance. And yet, many of the chief rulers believed in it. But they did not want to show it. They did not want anyone to know because it was frowned upon. Right? And so it is possible that some of you are not throwing rocks. That you have stopped doing that. It's possible that you have begun to realize who you are in your own unwillingness and state of their hostility. And maybe it has become a wonder that there is a Savior. And maybe you have seen him afar off. And you rejoice to see his day. But you don't want to talk about it. Because your husband is not going to take it well. Your wife does not resist, will resist that. And it goes against the grain. And maybe your parents will be upset as well. But that's also possible, right? I also thought of what we read in the Kent's Door on this. In chapter 1, article 6, much less cause have they to be terrified by the doctrine of reprobation, who though they seriously desire to be turned to God. Again, seriously desire to return to God, to please Him only, and to be delivered from the body of death, cannot yet reach the measure of holiness and faith to which they aspire. So there are people of God, and they can come so far as they would aspire, as they desire, in holiness, in faith. And our Father said, don't be terrified. Don't be terrified when you hear about reprobation and election, because when you seriously desire to return to God and to please Him only, and if you desire to be delivered from the body of death, although you cannot reach the measure of holiness and faith, the Lord is faithful. And the Lord knows that people. He knows his absent people. Going to close. One beautiful text yet from Habakkuk 2. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It is for the ethnic people, right? They're hoping and longing, waiting. Though it tarry, wait for it. Actively wait for it, because it will surely come. If you seek the Lord, if you admit that you are through rocks, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The Lord is not unwilling to save a people from their sins. But we have to come to our senses. But we are not an absent people. And that we are a hostile people. And yet the Lord continues saving such a people from their sins for His own name's sake and glory. Then took they up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus hid Himself. Was not this time. Later on, He would not hide. He would say, take me. But now He hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by secretly. They couldn't find Him anymore. And so the Lord is still at work, secretly. And He goes through the rows and through the pews, and secretly. He went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And He's still saving the people from their sins. Amen.